Well, this is a little ditty called Il Torto La Forenzo La Trenzo Minestrone Statazit.
Here comes the colonel. Gracious.
It's a conspiracy, I tell you. It's a conspiracy. They sneak in here and disrupt a serious science program. Cut it out, guys. Just cut it out. Well, welcome back here on the second half of The Promise of Tomorrow with the Science News Radio Network, exploring the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. Of course, we're going to get back with our guest today, Melissa Flagg. She is currently the founder and CEO of Flagg Consulting, but before that, Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Research in the Office of the Department of Defense. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. And just a minute, we're going to step over to our fountain of useless information that we keep here on the set. And for today's query, here's the coins. All right, let's go to men. What do you say?
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help you?
Aha, yes, I see. We have awakened the spirit of the fountain because we threw in the coins. And the spirit of the fountain knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all. For a price, you know, of course. All right, O spirit of the fountain, here is today's query. What was the occupation of Christa McAuliffe, the first civilian selected to go on the space shuttle? The occupation of the first civilian to go in the space shuttle, Christa McAuliffe. And I'll give you a hint, this happened back during the 1980s. Mm-hmm. O spirit of the fountain?
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell me.
Oh, yeah, right, I know. That was an easy one, wasn't it? For anybody paying attention, the occupation of Christa McAuliffe, the first civilian selected to go on the space shuttle. If you said she was a therapist, of course you're wrong. Christa McAuliffe was a school teacher. Yes, I remember quite well. Okay, back to our guest. Okay, we're back with Dr. Melissa Flagg. She's currently the founder and CEO of Flagg Consulting. And up until real recently, she served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Research in the Office of the Assistant Secretary of Defense, Research and Engineering within the Department of Defense. Melissa has provided oversight for the Department of Defense laboratories and the long-term strategic direction of the department's science and technology program. She's going to be a keynote speaker at the IEEE International Conference on Homeland Security going on April 25th and 26th. You can learn more about that conference in Boston at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, on the right-hand side of your screen. You will see a link. If you listen to the first half hour, I asked Melissa about the criticisms of the Homeland Security Department that they haven't done anything. The only thing that they've done is, the critics say, is provide the cameras that undress us at airports to see that we're not carrying any contraband or any weapons or anything like that onto airplanes. Other than that, they've given ordnance, military ordnance, to local police agencies that make them look like an occupying force with these armored vehicles and things, and that's supposed to be Homeland Security, and there's been a lot of criticisms about that. So we wanted to explore that a little further with her.
Homeland Security has a really hard job. And so I'm very respectful of the fact that it's easy to criticize when you're standing on the outside looking in at someone who has a really hard job. From a Homeland Security perspective, and again, you know, I grew up in southern Missouri in a small town. I was going home. I was on a road trip after I left the Department of Defense. I drove 7 weeks around the United States, and I came back through Missouri, and as I was pulling into my hometown, I saw an MRAP, which is one of the up-armored vehicles that had the V-bottom for underbody explosions of IEDs that was developed for Iraq and then moved to Afghanistan later. Mm-hmm. It saved a lot of lives of soldiers in the field, but these are military, you know, military armored vehicles, and it was being delivered to a small town in southern Missouri. I think that's crazy. I don't think it sends the message of we're here to protect and to serve you as a citizen. It sends the message of we're here to break your door down, right?
Yeah.
So it's probably, to me, I think there's a balance that we need to strike with how we provide military solutions to police departments. But I also think the Homeland Security, you know, DOD has an internal customer. So you can complain about acquisition in DOD, but acquisition is serving a specific customer. The combatant commands, the component commands of the services, we're making sure that they have what they need to fight the fight. Homeland Security is supposed to provide potential solutions to local and regional and state level first responders that have very small budgets. And so I think it would be really interesting to consider if there are different models that are not so inspired by the military model of acquisition, but actually are fundamentally different, that have a more bottom-up approach to kind of coming together at the seam for what is the space where they could create consortia, perhaps, or networks where they work together with industry and philanthropy in their regions to say, these are the things that would make a difference to security in our region. Homeland Security, would you give us matching funds? Could you help us develop the solution? Could you help us bring solution providers in to compare their wares and help us review and evaluate them? So I do think there are some different approaches that we could consider in collaboration with more sort of local and state level governance. I'm sure that Homeland Security does some of that. I'm much more familiar with the Department of Defense. But I think they have a very hard job. Their customers have very small budgets, and these are very hard problems.
Well, Melissa, I think that you've really, the past statements that you made, that's real meat and potatoes. And when you put together your presentation for the department, for the conference of Homeland Security Technologies that's going to go on the 25th and 26th of April in Boston, that could very well be the premise of the message that you want to drive home. Are you going to be comfortable saying that to the engineers or the other people that are going to be at the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, if there's one thing that people who know me know, it's that I'm candid.
Yeah.
But mostly because I really love this community, and I think that in order to tackle these really big problems, we've got to be honest with ourselves and with each other, and we've got to have some difficult conversations, which means questioning the status quo, right? Which means going back to first principles, even when it's organizational first principles, going back to how it was created and why, and then, okay, did that work? And if it didn't, don't just cut the budget. Let's adapt. Let's think about new structural experiments that we can sort of allow to play out to become better.
I think that's some real powerful stuff, Dr. Flagg. And I want to thank you very much for sharing that with us. Do you have a look into the future? I mean, can you see 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road? What do you see?
Well, I mean, I think that we're going into a period of disruption. We have a wave of sort of populism going across the world, and I think this keeps people honest, right? It brings you back, it brings solution providers at the top level back to what really matters to citizens and to taxpayers. And I think that what comes in the next 10 to 20 years is largely dependent on how we respond to that. And it's why I actually think establishing civil dialogue and allowing a much more robust bottom-up conversation to occur without obliterating the top-down structures we have that are extremely effective, I think it matters. And I think that it's the way we will come out of this disruptive period much stronger. But I do think there's a responsibility we have as leadership, as technologists, to be a part of that conversation and to do more listening and not just communicating at people.
All right. Well, I realize that in the course of your of your education and the attainments that you've had, that you've been mentored by some pretty brilliant people, and I'm sure you are asked to mentor people in different ways, certainly as founder and CEO of Flag Consulting. Give us a words to live by, a word of wisdom, maybe a creed of wisdom for us. Do you have a little nugget or something you can share?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I've recognized going out of having been in government and the nonprofit world for my whole career and starting something on my own, it's that fear is something that can lead to two very different responses, right? It can lead people to shut down, but it can also, if you can allow the discomfort, right, to occur and you can learn from it, it can really allow step function changes in your life. And I think that if we could practice sort of sitting with fear and sitting with disruption more as a community, the solutions we would be willing to tackle, the problems we would be willing to actually put our money behind would be incredibly different. They would be much riskier. And I think that as a community, we need to really get comfortable again with a little bit of fear.
All right. Dr. Melissa Flagg, currently founder and CEO of Flagg Consulting, and served as the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Research and provided oversight of Department of Defense Laboratories and long-term strategic directions of the Department's Science and Technology Program. Going to be a speaker at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference going on the 25th, 26th of April. If you want to know more about that particular conference, go to our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. It'll tell you all about it, and you can learn more about Dr. Flagg. Thank you so much for being with us, Melissa. We can't tell you how much we really appreciate you taking the time, and you've given us some really good things to chew on and to think about.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, yes, the weeks were gearing up to the IEEE 2017 International Conference on Homeland Security Technologies, going to be April 25th and 26th. The spring, coming up at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts, and of course that's Boston. This is a famous and historic international conference on homeland security technology gaps. Key technical gaps are going to be closely examined, as they are every year. Experts gather from all over the world to confer to frame the challenges in protecting homeland assets. This year the keynote speaker is Kay Goss, President of the World Disaster Management, and the technical program is all about emerging technologies in cybersecurity, land and maritime border security. There's biometrics and forensics. More biometrics all the time. It's getting to be really a very, very interesting subject of the show. Attack and disaster preparation, of course, and recovery and response. And, of course, strategy and threat characterization. ConOps is in it. Risk analysis, modeling, simulation, experimentation, and exercises in training, plus test beds, standards, performance, and evaluation. Sponsored by the Massachusetts Port Authority, one of the sponsors of the event, and they do a lot of buying of Homeland Security hardware and software, because it's a very sensitive thing to keep the port of Massachusetts, safe and secure. And high traffic networking. So if you attend, you'll be able to interact with other key attendees and expect to see government officials, systems integrators, research laboratories, small businesses, academic institutions, industry leaders and investors. One of the key developers of the conference is Fausto Molinet. He is the founder of Matrix Corporation, and he's in Boston. We spoke with Fausto not too long ago on how the show came together in the first place, and here is a portion of that conversation. All right, now I want to change gears here just a little bit. You're really involved with a very successful Homeland Security conference that takes place in Boston every year. Were you at the beginnings of that? Were you part of the formulation early?
Yes, I was. There were several of us here in the Boston section who recognized after the 2001 attacks in New York and Washington that there needed to be a stronger emphasis on technology solutions to assist in Homeland Security. It's not the only thing that makes Homeland Security work, but technology solutions are very important. And so we said, let's come up with something that will introduce those kinds of technologies that are being developed for 3 to 5 years from today to be deployed. We would like to have a conference that will showcase those technologies, that will bring together people from the Homeland Security sector to talk about what they need, to take a look at some of these solutions, see whether or not they'll work, give inventors and early stage entrepreneurs and companies that are doing advanced research in this area an opportunity to present what they're doing. We were surprised that it took off. Well, maybe not surprised is not exactly the right word. We knew there was a need for that, but it took off pretty well. We got more papers than we expected for our first conference, and the numbers have grown beyond our expectations pretty much every year since then. We've grown from about 100 people at the first conference up to nearly 500 now, and the participation is international in scope. We've had people from Poland to China and all countries in between attending and presenting. We hear from leading technology companies like Raytheon down to two guys across the kitchen table with an idea for detecting liquid explosives. So it just runs the gamut of pretty much everything, and it's an awful lot of fun to produce, and we feel it's helped a lot in introducing some of these people to the DHS market.
Yeah, I can imagine it's been a really fun thing to put together. And every year it's grown larger, and you say 500 people, I think the point is these are very, very high-quality people. They're not tire kickers. These are really high-quality people that attend this event.
Right. That's true. We try to make sure of that. I mean, anybody can come that wants to attend, but we see a very high percentage of the people are those who are presenting the papers or perhaps offered us one that we didn't accept. Quite a number of the people that attend are government employees who are actively seeking or at least wanting to hear about what the latest ideas are. Sometimes some of the government agencies are there talking about what they do and what they can do for the companies who are developing technologies. They have some terrific testing and evaluation facilities that are available, and they like to let people know what they can do to support the introduction of these ideas.
Well, the next IEEE Homeland Security event...
It's probably going to be 2 days. We do have a third-day option if we see a good reason to extend it. We're adding some tutorials to it, and it may cause it to extend over 3 days. I'm not sure exactly what the status on that third day is at this point, but hopefully it will be a little longer. We like to make it bigger every year.
What can you tell us about this particular event? Is there anything outstanding that we need to know at this time, or are you still developing?
In the meantime, we're still soliciting exhibitors and sponsors for the conference, and we have a whole program that allows people who are offering products or services for sale in the Homeland Security industry to be able to be there and interact with all of the conference attendees and showcase what they have to offer. We do have an opportunity for about 16 spaces in that. It's a small exhibit program, but it's always been pretty successful, and they get very good access to all of the attendees.
All right. We're looking forward to the event. It's certainly is exciting now. This is the that, well, it's been going on since 2001, I understand. You got it together pretty quick after 9/11, didn't you?
We did. I don't remember. I think our first conference was like in the late spring after 9/11, and we actually ran two conferences a year for a couple of years, but it turned out that that was an awfully hard thing to do, particularly using volunteer resources, which we mostly use for our program. So we shifted pretty quickly to one conference per year, and that's been very successful for us. Normally it has been in the spring of every year and from now on.
And if the weather in Boston holds fine, then you will never get any interference with a snowstorm or anything.
Yeah, well, we'll probably keep it pretty early.
Well, we're winding the interview down. Fausto, is there anything that that I missed?
No, I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything. I mean, I could probably talk forever, and I'm sure you could, but we'll give everyone else a break and let somebody else have the chance to say something.
Is there anything in the way of breaking news that that we can use?
You can see who those all are at our conference website, which is www.IEEE-HST.org. And so you can find out if the people who are speaking are someone that you would really like to meet. And if so, I would strongly recommend attending the conference.
Okay, good. We've been speaking with Fausto Molinet. He's a founder of Matrix Corporation. He also is one of the founders and the leaders in the IEEE Homeland Security Technologies Conference that goes on in Boston every year. Going to be in the spring time this year. It's April 25th through the 26th. You can learn more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you will see a link. Or you can go to IEEE-HST.org. It would be IEEE-HST for Homeland Security Technologies.org. The this is a famous and historic international conference on Homeland Security, and the keynote speaker this year is Kay Goss. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to the this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I know at our university, the University of Texas Dallas, we really encourage students to try to do a study abroad or travel abroad to get experience of living in another part of the world. And I think, you know, people that are out working now, if there's a chance to be an expat, to work in another country for their company, it's a little hard because it's different than, you know, working in, and you have to get up and move, and it's, but it, I think there's a rewards or you're really payback. So I think, you know, travel's good, but if you can live in another country for 6 months or a year, I think that really opens your eyes to the world, the worldview. And I think people don't pass up that opportunity if you get the chance. And I know at the university we really encourage students to you know, have an international experience if possible. I'm Larry Chastain. I'm a professor at the University of Texas at Dallas, the Jindal School of Management, and I teach strategy courses and project management.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
Tomorrow, 'cause you know what will be there. I am waiting for you. you. I am waiting for you.